Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. Dave Stoop and Dr. John Townsend. And your phone calls here today on New Life. Thanks for joining us today for New Life.
I'm struggling with abandonment issues, and I want to know how to move forward from it.
How would I reconcile a betrayal from a friend that was just a really deep wound?
I can always do good for short periods of time.
Yeah.
Like, pick myself right back up.
Michael, I believe you, and I hear that in you, we see that. But none of us were designed to have to pick ourselves up.
First of all, I'm wondering why it has to be somebody's fault that he died, because terrible things do happen in life.
I think you're going to lose
this
battle.
I have to let it go, don't I?
Yeah.
Part of what I would do is spend some time preparing my family to say, this is going to be tough, but we need to put it in the context of what would Jesus have us do.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend.
Hi, everybody.
Dr. Dave Stoop.
Greetings.
I would love to talk to you guys, but I want to do something else to start off with. You know, New Life believes in small groups. I know you two guys believe in small groups. And we have someone that works with all of our small groups, Ryan. And I'd like to play a short little clip of an interview I did with Ryan just the other day. Here it is. At New Life, we have a ministry outreach coordinator, and his name is Ryan Morello. He's an amazing guy, and essentially, he's in charge of our small group ministry. Yes, we have one, and yes, you and your church could benefit from it. Hi, Ryan. Welcome.
Hey, Steve. Thanks for having me.
Sure. What's new in the area of New Life and small groups?
Well, we have been working for the past few months on our life groups website, and that's newlife.com/lifegroups. And mm-hmm. on the website, we've included frequently asked questions for people who are interested in starting a life group on the how to's and why it's beneficial, and information on the curriculum we have and downloads and a lot of interesting stuff for facilitators or people just looking to get involved.
And when you say get involved, what can a person do to get involved with life groups in their church?
We have a few different ways that people can get connected. You know, if you are somebody and you're looking to get involved with the life group, we do have a search where you can punch in your zip code and look for a local life group around you for you to get connected with. Also, if you want to, you know, maybe begin a life group, you can take the information to your pastoral team or your leadership team at your church and go through the process of starting groups within your church, or you can take it as a group by yourself and start it within your own home. So we have all the material to help you facilitate something like that with you know, DVD curriculum and workbooks and books, and also facilitator material.
So essentially, for somebody who's had this thought, you know, I would love to do something. I'd love to reach out to people maybe in my neighborhood or certain people in the church. We've really got some group material that's kind of plug and play. You get a DVD player, mm-hmm. and you show up, you show the DVD, and then you're just essentially leading a discussion. You don't have to be a genius. You don't have to be fully healed or anything like that. You're just leading a discussion after they've seen some of the curriculum highlighted or presented in the form of the DVD.
And that's exactly it. I mean, we have material that kind of touches on all topics, from boundaries to marriage groups to one of the newer curriculums. It's Wives in the Battle. It's for, you know, spouses who have been affected by infidelity or pornography. You know, we have sexual integrity groups and weight loss groups, and we have everything for every demographic and every life stage that somebody may be in. And so the material really is a plug-in and play. Get involved. You grab some people around you, and it's really about experiencing life together and having accountability and fellowship.
Okay. So how does somebody get in touch with you if they want to start a group?
You know, you can call the 1-800-NEW-LIFE number, and you can ask for Ryan or the Life Groups guy. You can email me at ryanm@newlife.com, or you can go to the website at newlife.com/lifegroups.
Great. All right. Well, thanks, Ryan. You do a great job. And anybody that wants some assistance, just call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask for the life group guy or ask for Ryan, and we'll connect you.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. I'm going to go over and talk with Tammy from Mobile, Alabama. WBHY is the station. Hello, Tammy. Welcome to New Life.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help you?
Well, I'm in a relationship with a great guy. We've known each other since the beginning of the year and just recently have started dating. And I struggle with feelings of insecurity. He hasn't done anything to make me feel insecure. On the contrary, he often compliments me and treats me very well, but I just don't know how to get over those feelings. It seems like I feel most insecure when I'm in a relationship.
Mm-hmm. So I want to tell you, Tammy, I'm the same way. Alone, I am one of the most amazing human beings you could ever be around. I have no problems. I'm not anxious.
Dave and I just kind of worship around him, really.
Fabulous when I'm alone. But it's the relationship stuff that brings out.
We try to keep him alone, and that's why he's an Indian. We're here.
That's right. Okay, well, guys, how can we help Tammy in dealing with? Well, all of a sudden, the insecurity comes out.
What goes with the insecure feelings, Tammy?
Like, what's the self-talk inside?
I wonder if he will see someone more attractive and want to be with them instead of being with me.
Mm-hmm.
I start thinking about the future and marriage, and if I could, be confident that he wouldn't step outside of the marriage.
Tammy, did you have as a little girl, a family where someone wasn't who they needed to be with you? Could be someone preferring someone else, could be somebody leaving the home, could be someone pulling away the love you needed, anything like that.
Well, the relationship with my mom is not what I'd like it to be. I think a mom and daughter should be best friends, and I didn't really have that type of relationship with her.
How would you describe the relationship?
My mom is sort of a user, and kind of self-centered.
So the idea of Tammy as a little girl having a mom that no matter what Tammy was, whether she was making good grades or bad grades or clean or dirty or happy or annoying or whatever, and my mom loves me anyway, and she's going to always be for me, she's going to be there, and she's a solid person for me, that wasn't there?
I never questioned her love for me. It was just some things that she did that made me not trust her.
Okay. Yeah. Same ballpark.
Okay.
That you're describing something that was in the mix inside Tammy's mind prior to meeting this man.
Okay.
And so when you met the man, it's sort of like having a...
Any kind of significant relationship.
Significant relationship. It's sort of like, you know, like those sea monkeys we used to get in the mail where they were all dried out, and you add water and they come alive. So you add relationship, and then this insecurity that comes from way back in the past comes alive. It's activated. It comes alive because you're with, as Dave said, a significant relationship. So it has nothing to do with the man. He sounds like a nice guy. But these old fears came back. Does that make any sense?
That makes sense. Yeah. One thing, and I'm getting emotional now, but...
That's okay.
One thing she said when we started dating, and he would come over for dinner, and she said, he probably comes over because you cook food for him. Like, he wouldn't like me for me.
Your mom said that?
Yes.
Wow.
That's a really cruel thing to say, Tammy.
That is. You know, Tammy, we all develop, my sense is we develop our sense of confidence through the same-sex parent. And we learn relational skills through the opposite-sex parent. But this isn't going to just go away. I would encourage you to talk to a counselor and to be able to talk freely about the hurts and the disappointments. Doesn't make your mom a bad person, doesn't mean she doesn't love you, but there was a big piece that was missing in your relationship with her, and it's still affecting you today. So it's not just something that's, oh, you know, back in the past. It's something that's very active in today's situation. And no matter how wonderful this man is, he can't solve that. You've got to do that. And it's not your literal mom. So you don't ever have to deal with your mom directly. It's the mom that lives in your head. Mm-hmm. And you hear her voice in those situations. She doesn't even have to say something because you've got tapes in your head that play in situations. And that's how you approach this, and that's what's going to make the difference for you. You can do some of it by just arguing against those thoughts. But okay. you got to do more than that because get some help with it.
Yeah, Tammy, Dave's right. This is inside your skin, and I wouldn't even involve this man in that because
nor your mother,
nor your
literally.
Mom. The Bible talks about in Ephesians chapter 3 that God meant us to all be rooted and grounded in love. And I know you said, "Well, my mom loved me," but I'm sorry, Tammy, that's cruel, and. Maybe she was in the same room with you, but that's not love. That's not how a mom loves a little girl or a grown woman. So you need to probably get in a small group or a counselor where they can help you to get rooted and grounded in love. And it's sort of like replacing our moms. We have to replace our moms and our dads sometimes. Jesus said, "Who my mother and brother and sisters, but those who do the will of God." So you need a new mom in your head that says, "That guy came to the house because he thinks you're awesome and loves your character and loves how great you are, not because of your cooking."
And food
is incidental. And as you get those messages inside, you have a new healthy mom inside to support you. We're going to send you a copy of Mom Factor, which was about dealing with the moms you have or didn't have.
And send her the Forgiving Our Parents, Forgiving Ourselves, because that takes you through a process and helps you understand some of these things, Tammy.
Yeah.
And takes you through a healing process.
All right, let's talk to Mark from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. WORD is the station. Hello, Mark.
Yes, this is he.
Hi there. How's it going?
I'm doing really well. How are you?
Doing great. How could we help you today?
Okay, my situation is this. I've been married 16 years. My wife and I got married when she was 25. I was 32. And we had only known each other 4 months. Mm. We're both believers. We got married, and then immediately upon getting married, I came to learn she really doesn't like and didn't like being touched.
Mm.
Didn't like her body being touched. She did not like intimate kissing, and she doesn't open up. She's somehow unable to be intimate.
Mark, can I ask a question about this real quick on a diagnostic level?
I'm sorry?
Can I ask you a diagnostic question?
Absolutely.
If she were on the phone right now and I said, "Okay, guys, this problem of not being wanting to be touched and not wanting to be intimate, Mark, on a scale of 1 to 10, what is it with you?" And you'd say it's probably an 8. What would your wife say? How concerned is she about this?
She would probably say like a 2.
Okay. Good. Just wanted to get that down. That says something to us, and why don't you continue?
Okay, keep going.
So the root of the problem, in my estimation, is that there's a lack of intimacy emotionally, physically, psychologically, that's always been there. And it resulted in us not having children, and we went on to adopt. Mm. And then after about 10 years of marriage, she wanted to adopt more, to which I said no. And then she took some medicine, which sort of superovulated her, and she did get pregnant. But the problem of intimacy is still there, and I'm at the point where I've had enough, and I want to move on, and I want out of the marriage. And the reason I didn't leave it in year one or later was because I made a vow.
Have you told her how deep your concern is now? Like you're really willing to think about this?
Yes, actually, about 6 years ago, we spent a year and a half in counseling. Marriage counseling, which in my estimation didn't go well at all, didn't go far, didn't get to the root of problems.
Let's get to her side of it. What if she were on the show now? We said, you know, Mark's thinking about leaving you because there's a lack of closeness. What would your wife say?
She would agree completely, and I would say she would say of me that I just get mad, or you know, maybe things along that line.
Mark, we're going to put a muzzle on you. All right, we're going to fix the mad Mark problem. Now, Sally, you got a man who's getting ready to leave because he can't be close. What say you? What would she say?
I don't have a problem being close.
Oh. So Mark tells us you had to adopt because even though you're biologically able, you can't have sex and won't have sex, and that you can't be emotionally, psychologically close. That's not all true, Sally? He's just making that up in his head?
First of all, let me qualify that. She would have sex, but she did not want to be touched, and she wanted it to be over quickly.
So, Sally, is it true that you don't like to be touched?
She would say, no, I don't mind being touched, but I don't like parts of my body to be touched.
And I'd say, okay, you willing to work on that? Because that's an important thing. God gave you a body. Mm-hmm. What would she say?
She would say, sure, I'll work on it. And then she would say, okay, you can touch me.
Oh. No, I get it. Yeah, and then you feel like you're sort of with somebody who's not alive inside.
Yes, and that's the way it's been.
I got you.
The entire physical relationship.
If we solve the physical, do you solve the emotional, or is there emotional distance like
this? No. I mean, I'm not a psychiatrist, psychologist. But I have to believe something in me tells me something happened to her when she was a child or
I know, but it's hard to do an armchair thing when the person's not in the room. That's why I'm doing this role-playing thing, because I got to bring Sally into the room, Mark. So if I say, how are you with emotional intimacy, talking about vulnerability, being open emotionally to Mark, is it easy? Is that part of your guys' dance you do with each other? Or are you deeply open with each other? What would Sally say?
We're not open at all. I mean,
well, let me add another question to that then, Mark. This is to Sally also. What makes it hard for you to be open with Mark? What makes it hard for you to let him touch you? What is it that makes it difficult? What would she say?
I don't think I can accurately answer that.
How come?
Why not? Because I don't think she's open with anyone, her close friends.
Then that's the answer. That's the answer to Dave's question, is I don't know. I don't do this with anybody.
Right. I guess that's correct. That's the answer.
Mm-hmm. But you're married to Mark, and, you know, why is he in the same category as everybody else?
There's some sort of wall there. She cannot be free.
And I want. I mean, see,
and,
what I,
and I would say. What I'm, I can say this real quickly. I mean, right from the honeymoon, it was the lights had to be off. I couldn't see her naked. On and on. I mean,
Mark, this isn't
so
about
many.
Sex. We've got to get out of the sex thing here. The sex gets fixed if we fix where Dave's going. Stay with where Dave's going, because this is the root underneath the sex.
Yeah. See, what is there? Why is there a wall with Mark? What does Mark do that scares you, that frightens you?
I think Mark is now short and has moved on. He's not.
But there was
Mark defeated.
But there was a reaching out, Mark, prior to that, before you got discouraged. You see, the reason we're kind of going all these directions, Mark, is there's if a spouse can realize that the reason that they're disconnected has partially to do with the other spouse, but a lot to do with themselves, and gets concerned about it and sees there's a much better life out there if they'll work on their grief or vulnerability issues or whatever, maybe abuse issues, who knows. There's a lot of potential, but you've got to have these conversations, and it sounds like those are breaking down. So we have some tips for you on the other side of the break.
All right, we'll take a break.
May I ask you one other question?
Hold on. We'll get back to you right after this break. You're listening to New Life Live.
I wish I was who you think I am. The one you thought you married. The ideal husband, the amazing dad, the great lover. But my mind is filled with darkness, with images that I can't erase. I want so desperately to be the man you dreamed of. The man I know I can be. I am terrified to talk to you about this, but I want to. I need to. I want us to be close just as badly as you do. Can I talk to you? Can we be totally honest and know that we love each other enough to be open?
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help. I want help. I can't do this on my own.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Stephen Arterburn from New Life Ministries. We know that Christian counseling changes lives. We hear evidence of that every day.
I feel like I'm a person for the first time in my life. I feel like I wasn't whole before, or that I couldn't enjoy life. I had such a big weight on my shoulders that I had nothing to look forward to. I'm such a better wife, and I'm a better daughter, friend, a better worker. I feel absolutely free.
Our nationwide network of licensed Christian counselors means there is help available near you.
If anybody is considering Christian counseling, then they need to do it. They need to take that step.
You don't have to be stuck where you are, but you can't really expect to change unless you take action. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It could be the start of a whole new life for you. Christian counseling works, and we can help. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE today. Someone who cares is always there at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We'd love to hear from you if you have a question or comment. Call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to New Life Live.
Hey, we're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend and Dr. Dave Stoop. And we're talking with Mark, and he's got a wife who has never really connected physically with him. Always a struggle there. Guys, you had another issue you wanted to talk about before we moved on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, we had a lot of, Dave and I had a lot of empathy for both of you, Mark, for you and Sally, whatever her name is, because she sounds like a nice person, and, you know, you sound like a nice person. And we always hate to make premature diagnostics with somebody we haven't met. I just think it's not a good thing. But she does show some signs of something having happened to her prior to you guys meeting.
Let's just assume that, hypothetically.
Assume something happened. Assume something happened. Because God intended a marriage to be, I mean, that's when it says, you know, one flesh in Genesis, or one. It means the naked and unashamed and connected. And for her to say, I don't like any physical contact or touching, or I don't like being emotionally open, that's not how God intended marriage to be, or just not how God intended life to be. So we would think there's something that went on. So the strategy for you is, before you say, well, I'm out of this marriage, I'm moving on, you need to turn your clock back to retrofit yourself back to the mark that really wanted to get connected to her, and in a really vulnerable way, just say, I have a dream about marriage of what I'll do to change, and I know I get mad, and I'll work on the mad thing, and we can muzzle me. But I need you not just to be a roommate, but I need much more, and I'll do anything to get that. And that will melt the heart of most spouses, or especially most wives I know, because wives are more relationally connected. But if she still says, I like it like it is, don't talk about this, I don't want to go there, I don't want to talk to anybody, then you have to begin actually forcing consequences. I need to see a therapist with you. I need to, do I need to be going out with my small group 3 nights a week without you? Because sometimes a person who has no interest in being open because of hurt will put a wall around them that just says, don't bother me, and you have to bother them. So I would not be saying to her, I'm leaving. I'd be saying, I'm going to need to start setting some limits until you understand how much I want a relationship with you. And
but that has to be done very gently.
Very gently.
If you think of her as like a 3-year-old child who's saying, don't touch me. And have that vulnerable, you're asking her to become vulnerable, and she's terrified of becoming vulnerable. So there's got to be a lot of reassurance, a lot of wanting to listen, wanting to understand, wanting to care.
But gentlemen, my only response to that, I went to seminary, and when I took the vows, I took them beyond seriously. Until death do you part, that was the vow that I said. And the problem is the marriage, in the marriage early on, I sat with her on the couch or in the bedroom and wanted to talk about how she felt and what she was thinking and what's hurting you and what's your dreams and what are your desires. And I was married to somebody who couldn't open up in spite of all of my efforts. And I will say that after about 12 years of it, I just have stopped. And here we've been now 4 or 5 years now.
Why didn't the counseling work, Mark?
Yeah.
Why didn't the counseling work? That's the surgery that's supposed to fix that. Why didn't that happen? You haven't told me one thing that's not fixable by a really good counselor.
Well, we did the counseling thing, as I said, for a year and a half,
right.
And we weren't getting anywhere. The counselor wanted to meet with her one-on-one for a while. She did it for a while, and then she just felt she was too busy, and she didn't want to keep going.
Who was too busy?
And one of her best friends,
the wife,
was a professional counselor, and finally that best friend cut off the relationship and said, you just can't be deep. You can't have a relationship that's beyond how's the weather and what are you wearing to this party. And that counselor, that good counselor friend, sat her down one night, took her out to dinner, and said, I just need to end this relationship. It's just not healthy for me. And the reason I didn't end it is because of the vows I took. But I'm at the point now, the marriage is dead, but I would actually say the marriage never took root. It never lived.
Well, what are you hoping that we could do for you?
I guess part of my frustration has been with the church.
We can't fix a church for
Let's think solution, but what solution do you want us to have?
What are you hoping that we could do for you other than fix the church?
Okay. Well, I guess is it okay theologically, biblically, at some point to leave a marriage? Given if what I was to be saying were to be true, if you were to be in counseling with us for a couple years and this person could not get through and not become real and intimate.
I don't think it's okay.
You don't think it's okay to divorce?
I do not.
Not from a biblical point of view. No.
I have some other solutions, and we're going to take you through a second break because this is very important, Mark. But no, I don't think that's the solution on lots of levels. Biblical or psychological.
That for better or for worse, Val, this is definitely for worse.
Not to say that we don't have solutions here,
right.
Troy. We don't want you to be living in limbo till you die either. So let's go to a second break and help Mark.
All right. You're listening to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. And next week, August the 12th, is Every Man's Battle. We do it every month. What a great thing to do it this summer. Get it out of the way. And many people, some of these issues come up during summer. Get it out of the way and then start your fall pure and clean with sexual integrity. Every Man's Battle, August the 12th. It's one weekend to change an entire life and the lives of those around you. You'll never regret it. 1-800-LOVE.
At New Life, we are passionate about helping people experience recovery. And it's no exception when it comes to recovery from the addiction to drugs or alcohol. We are very grateful to have found what we believe is the premier facility to offer a Christian 12-step model of care. It treats the whole person and offers biblical values as the foundation for treating the mind, body, and spirit. Our partner in drug and alcohol addiction provides exemplary medical and psychiatric care, as well as Christian-based psychotherapy, pastoral counseling, biblical studies and meditation, educational groups, worship and prayer, and a Christian 12-step program. The approach is non-denominational and guides the patient to experience freedom through a renewed relationship with Jesus Christ. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you or someone you love is struggling with drug or alcohol addiction. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com. 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 1-800-639-5433.
I just absolutely believe in the mission of New Life, and I feel that the materials provided and the biblical counseling perspective is so valuable and not available in so many places, and New Life and membership in Club New Life provides access to the live program and also CDs available to listen to. So I know it's easy to turn on the radio and receive the benefit, but those services don't come without expense. And I would sure like to see the program remain on. So I would like to challenge listeners who listen and receive benefit but haven't yet given to actually give this year and continue the giving, of course, because more people need to hear.
Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE and ask how you can start your Club New Life membership today. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now, back to the program.
All right, a couple more minutes here with Mark. And John, I believe you wanted to talk with Mark a little bit more.
Yeah, Mark, like Steve said, for better or for worse, right? So what I would, on a path, kind of coach you through this level, I would return to my original thing we were talking about of she's got to get help. She's hurt. She's broken. But she's decided that she can live with the broken. So whatever it takes, as Dave said, this is gentle. But you've got to find the right therapist. And I would again start with a marital. I'll just say, Sally, we're in crisis here. I am despairing of this marriage, and I love you, and I miss you. But we can't do it, and there's no more loving I can do to fix this. So I would start with the marital, because then if they're good and she sticks with it, before they go an individual, the marital will bring out the fear and say, Sally, you can't be happy about this. Nobody that's as split off as your wife is a happy person. So you've got to get to the pain. She's got misery in there. She's got, like Dave said, she's got terror in there. And that marital therapist with you in the room, you know, has got to dig that out.
And don't split it off and have her do it individually.
That's premature.
Do the individual work with you in the room so you can understand what's going on.
You can get it, and you can see, well, here's what I do. Dave mentioned in the break, Mark, that you probably trigger stuff that you're not even aware of. Maybe you raise your voice, you look the wrong way. Who knows? So you've got to find out what your part is to make it safe for Sally. But that therapist, as the surgeon, has got to be there helping her see that she's not a happy person. She could have a much, 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 much better life. Now, having said all that, there are, if you look at a bell curve of how counseling goes, there's a small percentage of people that say, I will not, no matter what you say, do, or how safe you make it, I'm not interested in growth. And time after time, and session after session after session. And that's when a spouse has to say, well, the door's always open, but as Dave likes to say, I'm going to get a full life. And so you have a full life with your kids and your job and your friends and your mission, your service and your healing, and you stay married to her and be as redemptive and loving as you can, but you de-invest from the need from her to be different, and you keep the bridge open. You know, think about it this way, Mark. God does this with us all the time. He leaves the door open. He says, okay, go your way. I want you to choose differently, but I'm in here and I'm waiting, and the world's not going to slow down while you're kind of not working. But God keeps us with consequences and love and safety, but he keeps that door open.
Okay.
I'm going to send you a copy of Now What Do I Do, which is a way to look at these on a systematic level. Mark, by the way, your voice just sounded unhappy. Like, that okay felt to me like a disappointed okay.
Yeah, it is a disappointed okay because I am a person who is so invested in people and sitting down, you know, whether it be breakfast with men over all the years of men opening up to me and me opening up to them and talking about things and going places so that we can grow. And I'm married to somebody who is, in my estimation, 100% incapable of it. And I have begged and pleaded. When I got us into counseling, I literally called 6 times in 10 days and just kept begging to get in. We finally got in, and we didn't get places. And I feel I'm married to somebody who has no desire to really change or grow and who's content.
And Mark, people can be content. The Marks in the world, and my heart goes out to you, seriously, the Marks in the world can be content with a spouse that doesn't want to heal or change.
And to Mark, I wish you could rephrase what you just said instead of who doesn't want to, but to say who is terrified, who is terrified to do something different. Right. And if you could see the terror that's inside her heart, that may help you to do something different.
Parenthetically, unbeknownst to me prior to marriage, she was in counseling prior to us getting married with a counselor who herself was a gay woman. I ended up leading my wife to the Lord. And my wife, after meeting me, came to the faith and really has grown in her knowledge and understanding of the faith. But I don't know if there was something there because she won't open up and talk about that.
Well, I tell you,
you don't know what you don't know.
You need to get with some a good counselor that can walk you through this on a day-to-day basis. It's very tough, and I wish we could be more helpful to you. But, man, we've just got a tough answer for a tough situation there.
But it's God's answer. Jerusalem, I wish I could have put you under my wing like my hen does her chicks, but you would not. God tells us that he experiences people being around people who are stuck all the time. It's not like, well, now I'll have a bad life. It's I've got to put the energy and the need in other places while this person's working it through.
Yeah, yeah. And don't keep coming up with different hypotheses to try to understand it, Mark. You may never understand it, except to know that there's something in there that terrified her long ago, and there's still that little girl that's terrified in some way, and you can come up with all kinds of hypotheses, but that's not going to help the situation. All that does is push her away and make her more afraid.
So you keep the bridge open, Mark. You be loving. You tell her how deeply you want to connect. You push really hard for counseling. You get a full life out there with the people you're invested in. You grieve what you would like to have, but you keep hope that maybe something will change, but you don't put your life on hold. That is not a plan B solution. Mm-mm. That's God's solution, Mark.
All right. Let's go to Stephanie from Monroe, Louisiana. Online is where she listens. Hello, Stephanie.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call.
Certainly. How could we help today?
Well, I'm calling about a question about my brother-in-law. He's an addict, addicted to alcohol and drugs. And my husband and I, about a week ago, got a phone or a text message in the middle of the night saying he was going to kill himself. And fortunately, I know Louisiana law a little bit, and I had him picked up by the police and taken for a psychiatric evaluation.
So what happened?
Good for you. You were active.
Well, excellent.
Well, I tried to be. He ended up, long story short, he was evaluated. He decided he wanted to go to rehab. So we got him into a detox clinic, and he's scheduled to go to rehab today. Mm-hmm. My question is, what is my husband and I, what is our next step? How do we support him the best through this process without being enabling or anything like that? What's our next step? How do we support him? He doesn't have a lot of family support anymore. You know, he's kind of burned through all them.
Hey, Stephanie, what's your concern? I mean, you've got the guy and you're a rock star. You got him in there. He's doing the work. He's with professionals. So what would be an enabling thing that you're worried you might do?
Well, He's been through rehab. This will be, I believe, his fourth time. The times before he was talking to us, we went and visited him this past Saturday. He said, you know, every time I've been there, it's been to get everybody off my back so they'll, you know, leave me alone long enough to where I can, you know, get through that and then go back to the drugs and alcohol. But my concern is he's an extremely good liar. You know, he has just lied his way into money. I know.
They and always
I
are.
Just, hey, Stephanie, do you know the joke about that?
Yes.
How can you tell when an addict's lying?
Oh, if their mouth is moving?
True.
Yeah.
Well,
you're worried that he'll manipulate you into like somehow rescuing him?
Yeah, that, you know, I know he has a lot of hurt as a child that he needs to work through. He's got a lot of anger, and my concern is my husband and I are fairly young, and so we don't have a lot of wisdom necessarily, but we're trying to do the right thing by him and trying to get him the help he needs without taking advantage of
him. Hey, Stephanie, the principle that I've always operated on is that when somebody is in recovery and, you know, in a place like that, you do everything you can to be supportive. You know, if there's a family week, I'd go to family week because you'll learn a lot and he will know that you have learned a lot so that he cannot manipulate you the same way again. If he falls off the wagon, then you withdraw. You just say, you know, hey, we're done. As long as you're staying on track in recovery, we're here for you. You know, you relapse. What you got to do with relapse is you get up and get back in the program and get going again. And if you do that, we're still here. And you're not enabling when you're caring for somebody to do, you know, to do the right thing. Enabling behavior is when they're doing the addictive thing. So that's my comment on that.
All right, we're going to take a break and come back. More of New Life Live, actually our final segment of New Life Live. And I would just say to Stephanie as we close out this call, the best thing a person can do is be interested in what a person's doing in rehab and be available to the staff, and that the staff would always know there'd be someone to call if the person went AMA or decided not to participate, and help with the what's going to happen when they get out. Some solid moves.
Hi, everybody. Max Licato here. As a pastor, I've seen how important it is for people to come and get good Christian counsel. People make decisions that turn out to be the wrong decision. I heard Steve Arterburn say on New Life not too long ago that the same thinking that got you into your mess isn't going to get you out of it. If you find yourself in a spot and you don't know what the next right thing to do is, then won't you call the good people at New Life? They have a network of Christian counselors around the country that's more than 850 strong. Call today 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. And tell them you need to find someone to help you. They're likely to have a counselor in your area to help you with whatever you're struggling with. It will be good, godly counsel. Call today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, 639-5433.
I counsel people every single day. I help marriages. I help broken people find healing. I teach the good news of a Savior that loves us. But why can't I accept it myself and break free from this bondage? I can't stop looking at pictures that I shouldn't be looking at, and fantasizing and lusting, and now I've taken it a step further and gone to a strip club. I have to stop. I want to stop.
At New Life, we've helped thousands of men just like this find hope, healing, and a plan to move forward with their lives through our one-of-a-kind Every Man's Battle Intensive Weekend. Call us right now at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
I need help, and I can't do this on my own. I want to be the pastor that God wants me to be.
1-800-639-5433. N-E-W-L-I-F-E.
To find out more information about New Life, or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now, back to the program.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here with Dr. John Townsend, Dr. Dave Stoop. It is August. We need your help. If you want us to help you, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you all about the August 12th Every Man's Battle. Also, Club New Life, we've been, we're about halfway toward our 1,000 member sign-up for this year. We need about 5 people a day to sign up to get it. And so if there's any way that you've ever wondered about what it would be like to be part of Club New Life, today would be the day. Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE, and we'll tell you all about.
Also, if you're already a New Life member, like all of us here are, tell a friend.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That would help. That would really help. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Tell that friend. All right. Our final call today is going to be, why don't we talk with Candace here. And Candace is calling from Lincoln, Nebraska. KCRO is the station. Hi, Candace.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm in a unique situation. I was asked to take care of a 99-year-old widow and came into the home and started caretaking, and she was actually very strong and could do most things on her own. But as time went on, I've been doing this for 2 years, and I had to help more and more and more, and I kept taking over more. I took over the bookwork. I took over the hospitalizations. I took over just, in essence, everything in a 2-year period. And she has 2 sons, and they kind of just dropped everything and let me take over. Well, now I find myself overworked. And she went through a 6-month period of being very, very ill, and I had to lift her a lot and lift her and lift her and lift her, and I asked her sons for help, and it didn't come, and it didn't come. So now I find myself, to make a long story short, my knees are swollen, my ankles are swollen, and I can't walk on my feet. I'm on crutches.
Mm-hmm.
And she is very virile now, back very, very strong, and she and I made the mistake of being very, very attentive to her every whim. And so she's expecting me to still do that now when I can't walk.
Yeah, okay.
So I have overhelped, and I don't know how to backpedal and get out of that, because I was enabling her by doing everything for her, because she's able to do now for herself where she wasn't for 6 months.
Okay, what's the question for us then?
How do I backpedal and get out of not for her every, moving to her every whim? I can't, I'm on crutches, I can't walk, but she's slamming drawers and cabinets and everything, wanting me to attend to her when she's able to do it, and I can't.
And
so she gets angry when I don't attend to her like I did.
Yeah, okay. And the reason that you feel like you need to continue to do it is what?
Well, I have a bed in her basement,
mm-hmm.
and that is, I stopped teaching to help her. That was a request made by the Lord to me, to stop teaching high school and come and help this widow.
Okay.
So that was my assignment, and that's what I've been doing. But I've been doing more and more and more and more and more, and it got myself into over my head. There's too much.
How are her cognitive faculties, Candace?
Well, at times extremely well, extremely well. The only thing that is wrong is that she has a loss of short-term memory.
Okay.
Other than that,
so,
very
cognitive. But if she were on the radio with us today and we said, well, Mary, sounds like you're slamming doors because she doesn't like bringing you a Kleenex every second. Sounds like you're sort of spoiled here. Would she say, yeah, I am, I got to get over that? Or would she say, no?
I confronted her with that. She said, oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do that.
Okay.
I said, why are the slamming doors? I can't.
All right, Candace.
Right now. I can't.
Candace, let's say she's 3. Because there's some 3 going on here.
Okay.
And you've said, I've spoiled this kid, and I love this kid, but this, I've given them cookies when they wanted to, and let them stay up way too late at night watching TV, and it's time to put, some reasonable limits on this, and my kid's going to have a tantrum. Well, Mary's going to have some tantrums for a while. Can you tolerate that? while she's readjusting to the new healthy Candace? Now, I'm asking you a question. Can you tolerate that process?
Yes. I will not give in to that. She'll let the smoke alarm go for 20 minutes to see if I'll come up, and I let it go. I let it go.
So if that's the answer, then that's the answer.
Yeah.
But it's been 6 weeks.
I don't think that's too long.
Weeks.
I don't think that...
It may be too long for you, but in terms of what John's suggesting, the retraining of her, it's not too long.
I mean, maybe you need some more breaks and get out of the basement and go have some fun with your friends to tolerate
it. I can't walk. Then I'm on crutches.
Hold it, Candace. You don't have to walk to go to dinner. You tell your friends to pick me up and crutch me out there, but you got to get out of here to get some other...
I have also just given up my life for her.
Well, Get some friends and fun.
If she's got short-term memory problems, then it's important that you reorient her to reality on a frequent basis from a non-emotional, angry place where you're able to say
to her. Non-emotional, non-angry.
Helen, I know that you've...
Steve, it's Mary.
I mean, well, no, I'm talking about whatever the lady's name is.
I know, I just made that up.
Okay. Anyway, it's Helen, I know that you have had the fire alarm on here for
a different lady. Yeah.
Helen, I know you've
Cynthia. Cynthia coming in today?
Hold on a second. She says, Helen, I know you've got the fire alarm going for 20 minutes, wanting to know if I'll come. But if you remember, I've been injured and I can't use my crutches, and so I can't come and turn the fire alarm off.
I had to use my crutches to get out of the house because I thought it was on fire.
right. So you just continue to try to reorient her to reality from a non-emotional place and see if you can get anywhere.
So we're really saying three things, Candace. One is the non-emotional kind of reality testing, which helps with short-term memory issues. The other is the retraining, and the other is Candace needs a life with friends and fun activities and service and hobbies.
And how do I get her sons back involved now?
I don't know that you do.
They're both...
I think you got some leverage, actually. They are so glad that somebody gave their life up. I think a statement of... how bad do you guys like me here? Do you want to start coming here every day picking her up? Because I might have to do something else if I don't get some support from you guys. You have an extremely...
So make an ultimatum.
Well, I wouldn't say ultimatum.
Nicely.
I
wouldn't call it.
No. I don't even say nicely. I'm saying sometimes that people need a reminder. Like, guys, I need some help and I need some days off and I need a substitute when I'm not here. My mother-in-law has dementia. My wife spends a lot of time with her, but they have in-home help. Then that in-home help that lives there like you do, she needs a break. So the in-home help has a substitute that comes in when the in-home help's not there. Nobody does what you do if they can help.
Okay. Well, the thing about it is, I came here because she's got a one-bedroom house and there's just a bed in the basement for me because she. I assumed she was very poor. She has an 85 car and this and that. Mm. So I worked for free. The whole first year I worked for free.
Oh, my God. The second year,
she said she would pay me $100 a month.
Yeah.
So Candace, it's time to renegotiate.
Candace, I agree with you. And I wish we had more time, but we're just plumb out of it. So
Renegotiate in a nice way.
That's right. All right. Well, I know many of us end up in situations where we say, wow, how did I get here? If you need some help in evaluating those situations. Right now in Dallas, there's a call center, and people are there, and we hire them just to help you. So call them, ask them about a resource, whether it's a book, a tape, a CD, one of our weekends coming up, our August the 12th Everyman's Battle Workshop. There's something that could change your life, and it's there at newlife.com and 1-800-NEW-LIFE. My thanks to Dave Stoop and John Townsend, all of you that support us and listen. God bless you. Thank you. And we'll see you next time here on New Life Live. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1018, Laguna Beach, California, 92652. Please join us on Monday for New Life Live.